Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works. Conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wave Farm is thrilled to partner with New American Radio to ensure these works remain available to listeners today and into the future. New American Radio was organized by Helen Thorington, executive producer, and Regina Beyer, associate producer. A special thanks to both Helen Thorington and Joanne Green for their generous support and collaboration in this partnership. Up next is Short Summer at Longhurst by William Morlock. Thank you for listening.
A muse of mirth that would ascend the brightest heaven of anachronism. For anachronism's our particular god tonight, and in a golden chariot we ride the ills above the tide. For what worked once works no longer, or works wrongly, ill-fitting the roiling times. Yet here we are at Longhurst, pearl of an estate on the sunny western shore of Puget Sound in the state of Washington, in the company of characters ill-fitting their roles. The style recalls a more graceful age when privilege and leisure and meringue wit alone could bake a play. But the souls beneath, they chafe, they fret, they're not at home. They feel plucked from life by a capricious mind and set down in a lovely wonder world from which there seems to be no escape. To dream of Longhurst is one thing, to live there, quite another.
Dear Nell, it's a kind of music, really, what I compose as I walk here. Gosh, I wish you could be here with me this summer of all summers. Why don't you just fly away from that horrid school of yours? I realize that you're preparing yourself to become a wizard or an empress or an Arctic explorer or something, all of which takes time and dedication. But don't you think you could find or steal a week or two to be with me out here? Where is that off button on this?
Listen to that. You know, the remarkable thing is that here we are, for all we know, badly educated products of suburban Seattle high schools and state universities, talking like we just stepped out of an S.N. Behrman play. I don't buy any of this.
Oh, Regis, you are such a skeptic.
No, I'm
just,
not.
You are. Just go with it. The money's certainly good enough. The clothes, the cars, the house in Bellingham and La Push.
Sure.
Considering that you could have ended up in some gritty waterfront drama throwing bailing hooks around. Or worse, think of this scenario. Some Edward Albee ripoff where one derelict kills another derelict on a park bench and a bunch of aesthetes applaud and say, thank God, finally something picturesque in our dreary city. Considering that, Regis, I think you've done pretty well.
You have a wonderful imagination.
I once heard Edward Albee talk in Seattle.
You've completely misunderstood my point, as usual, Laura. And who in the world is that?
A woman asked him how many children he had. Hi, Regis. I'm Tom.
That's Tom.
Don't get militant, Regis. More lemonade?
He said 13.
Militant.
Some had good jobs, and others, well, they weren't worth a damn.
I think Winnie can take care of herself. She knows it's her daddy's money keeping me out of that, was it Stevedore epic you were referring to,
Laura? Yeah, that's pretty
much it. Then he ended the Q&A.
Or the Albee clone. Let's see. We'll call it Starbuckscape, in which two large coffee-loving Sasquatches happen upon a 50-ish couple drinking Vienna roast in Volunteer Park. Spare set, concrete bench, Noguchi's black sun towering over them, and the Space Needle in the background.
What?
I thought Albee was cool.
Do try and keep up, Laura.
Damn
and
you.
Is anybody going to explain to me this person on the speakerphone?
Betty never came back to Seattle, though. I think he thought we were pretty stupid.
We are stupid.
Speak for yourself, Regis.
Hey, I can admit it, can you?
Stop.
No.
Please. I wanted us to share the summer here just once. Can't we try to get along and be happy with what we have? The sun, the water, view, food, drink, companions we supposedly love?
Absolutely.
Look, I'm fairly confused here.
Regis.
Well, what's this place for? What do you call it?
Estate.
Estate. There aren't any estates west of Oak Park, Illinois, Winnie. We're only a couple of generations removed from fur traders. Your father literally built this place with chainsaws and dug furs.
And a few Paul Bunyans.
Here, here, Tom, I agree.
Whom he paid with coffee and bacon back.
Tom?
Bravo, whoever you are.
Thank you.
Tom.
What a cruel thing to say. My father was always fair to his lumbermen.
His lumbermen?
It's just an expression.
And thus is oppression rooted in the language.
Please, please.
I think you might be going overboard with the working man thing, Regis. After all, you're a patrician yourself.
That's my point. I'm not. How can I be? Look, I have dirt under my fingernails.
A dive into the Rose Garden during an intense game of badminton would account for that.
You were agreeing with me just a moment ago. Don't leave me now.
Agreement from point to point does not imply allegiance.
I want to know who this guy is.
More lemonade, Tom?
I have some, thanks.
Myself, I like Tom. He's got a quiet about him that's absolutely Taoist. Like Paul Klee looking out of his window in Bern. The face of a man who knows about day and night, sky and sea and air, to quote a friend of the artist. Now, Regis is a bit too overbearing, don't you think? Glib and thoughtless, like a Marx's son in a Russian novel. Winnie, of course, is a dear, and Laura will in time blossom into a memorable heroine. A fine badminton player, too. Consistently forces Regis into the Rose Garden. Anyway, onward. Oh, Regis and Laura are alone. Let's find out what this friendship is all about.
Laura, do you really like it here?
Take a look around you, Scout. What's not to like? I bet you've never rubbed up against money like this before.
I don't think I have. But that's what's troubling me. I don't know for sure. I don't have any memories of before. I just sort of appeared here full grown with a, whatever you are, a fiancé or something.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not so crazy about that part either.
Okay, so you didn't choose me, I didn't choose you. Not that I wouldn't if I got to know you. You're actually pretty attractive in a mousy sort of way.
Oh, gee, what a compliment. Hey, don't take the role too seriously, bub.
Have you money?
Ooh, that was a bit of high-class syntax.
It comes and goes, I think.
I don't believe so.
So how do you know the heiress?
Winnie?
Yeah.
I think I knew her from a school in the East where girls from the West went to seem a bit more Eastern when they returned to the West.
There wasn't a proper noun in that sentence except the compass points. Come on, Laura, I need specifics. I need names. If you didn't have the money, how'd you share a school tie with Winnie Fallows?
Scholarship. I'm quite brilliant.
Yeah, I should have known.
Off the scale smart, to tell you the truth.
Is it possible for you to tell the truth?
Are you calling me a liar?
No, I don't know you that well yet. But no, look, is it possible for any of us to do anything so autonomous as tell the truth? Or lie, for that matter? I mean, how do you know you went to this school? How do you know you're brilliant?
Okay, I seem to know all of the Canterbury Tales by heart. How many people do you know who can say the same thing, and I know them in Middle English? Want to hear?
No, I don't. As I said, I have no reason not to believe you, but beyond vague notions which could be planted in your mind by a prologue or a character sketch, do you know anything else about yourself? I mean,
sure.
Like the bank asks, what's your mother's maiden name, for instance?
Actually, I haven't any idea.
Yeah.
Is that significant, do you think?
I don't know.
You know, maybe I'm just a very self-absorbed daughter who never thought to ask or possibly never visited her grandparents. No,
but you'd know that to be true.
How many self-absorbed women do you know themselves to be self-absorbed?
You're bright. You are bright.
You're staying at the home of the late richest man in the state of Washington.
I know.
You're engaged to a beautiful and, let's face it, brilliant young woman whose passions are of a depth never before plumbed by man.
Manifest.
You're not so bad looking yourself, actually.
Thank
you. And you could have a storied future ahead of you. Lighten up.
Refreshments, anyone?
Thanks. My glass is full.
Winnie, you really know how to make a spread. Lemonade, lemon bars, telephone.
Regis, Laura, how are you this afternoon? How are the wedding plans going?
Have I missed something?
Brilliant young woman has feet of clay.
I think it's wonderful that you're going to have the ceremony here. Ever since you two met, it's been my secret fantasy. A wedding in the gazebo, in the rose garden, on the bluff.
Wait,
above the water.
You know how we met?
Of course, silly. I was there.
How did we meet, Winnie?
Laura, is this a test?
No, seriously, Winnie. We don't know, or remember, or ever knew. We don't know who we are, Winnie.
Regis, Laura. When two become one, it's only natural for you to be confused about your identities as individuals. Or so I've been told.
Sounds like some prenuptial jitters to me.
Who asked you?
Whoa, make that tremors.
Wait a minute. I know.
You know?
I know Harris, Dearborn.
Dearborn?
Comstock, Georgetown,
who?
And Yancey.
Who are these people?
Not who, what, where we met, you and I. At Harris, Dearborn, Comstock, Georgetown, and Yancey, you and Winnie were paralegals for the summer, and I was a lawyer.
How did you know that, Regis?
He always knew it, dear. His mind was just on other things.
But I didn't know it. How did it suddenly come to you?
Who cares? I'm a lawyer. Life is over.
I'll bet you're a darn good one, Reg.
Concentrate, Regis. This is important.
Well, now that we've all got our memories back, do we remember what we're doing today?
No.
We're excavating the hill on the south end of the estate for artifacts from George Vancouver's English encampment of 1793. Oh, this is going to be such a marvelous summer.
Good scene. Laura is puzzled. Regis is in despair. Tom is still on the line, and Winnie is just tickled with a wedding and an archaeological dig during the same summer. She hasn't seen this much excitement around her dreary mansion since, well, I get ahead of myself. New act now. In which we find out a little more about Tom and his social habits.
Here's another piece of Wedgwood china. I think that makes a setting for 8 now. Winnie, I have to admit it. I didn't think a dig could be this much fun.
Captain Vancouver traveled in style. We'll have tea tonight from this samovar.
It's beautiful, Winnie. Do you think we could carry this Queen Anne oak bed back to the house?
Maybe if we left the canopy here.
Right. Say, Winnie, now that we're nowhere near a telephone, I wonder if I could ask you a question.
Sure. Just let me grab the silver polish and...
Okay.
Okay, shoot.
What is it with Tom and the telephone? I mean, is he injured or something?
No. He just never leaves the guest house.
What does he do there?
Well, you know, I...
Winnie suspects that Tom's working on something and prefers to be near his work.
More or less constantly.
Suspects. She suspects.
Yeah, she suspects.
You don't know what he's working on. Oh,
well, she suspects that it's more or less a theory of communication, how one person conveys meaning to another person.
Does Winnie really know this person at all?
She suspects that he's quite brilliant, though sedentary, and also that he may contribute brilliantly to the world of ideas. Right, Winnie?
Uh-huh.
It sounds like a press release. What does he say? Invite me to your sprawling estate and I'll encamp in the guest house in order to eat and sleep?
And think.
Now you think, Winnie. What is he doing? Or experimenting with? Or on? Or messing with? Is he messing with us? Because I think somebody is, and this disembodied voice is the most likely suspect.
Did you folks have a good time?
Marvelous. I've always loved looting history.
Is Tom here?
Well, that's a matter of interpretation.
I'm here. Hi, Winnie.
Hi, Tom. Say, Regis and Laura were curious about your work. Weren't you, Regis and Laura?
Yes,
yeah,
actually,
mildly
were.
So, yeah. Uh-huh.
I appreciate your interest.
Right. So how come you never leave the damn guest house?
Well, it's all fairly conjectural at this point.
I have the time.
Everyone, I'm a little worried.
What is Winnie worried about now?
Regis.
It's just that we're spending so much of our time, which is limited, in this, how should I say it, internal examination of who we are and why we're here, that we're not even doing what as characters we're supposed to be doing.
Which is?
Putting on a play, with a plot and motivations, lives that come together and are changed, perhaps grow apart and are changed again. I just don't think the author, whoever it is, will be very pleased with us if we keep asking these fundamental questions.
That's an extremely intriguing concept.
If he or she doesn't like how we're performing, we get thrown in the trash.
Oh. Winnie, how can we live these naturally occurring lives like you want us to when we have to somehow anticipate what the author wants and then provide it for him?
Or her.
It's just so frustrating. I've been waiting so long here to get you all together and have a play. I mean a summer together. And things just seem to be stuck.
Well, who's supposed to unstick them? Aren't we just doing what the author wants? Is she such a moron that
he
can't unstick them himself?
I don't know. I just know that something's wrong, and that if we don't get a play started here soon, I'm going to cry.
But don't worry, Winnie. We'll get a play started. Won't we, Regis?
We sure will, Tom, and we'll kill the bad guys and marry the girls and ride away on our white horses.
Okay,
yep.
Look.
Yep. Sure
we
thing,
have
man.
Most of the pieces here already. It's just a matter of putting them all in sync, making them work together.
Don't forget to make them work in opposition, too. There has to be a certain amount of tension in every play.
We have enough tension already, Tom.
Right.
Winnie knows who she is and why she's here. She also knows why we're here, or so it seems.
To get married at Longhurst at the end of a long, idyllic summer.
Right.
Right. Now, Tom appears to be a communications theorist of some kind, who deals with people only at an electronic distance.
I'd say that's a fair assessment.
A communications theorist who's in love with the heiress to the Fallows fortune, but can only express his affection via the telephone. Is that enough tension for you, Tom?
Plenty, yeah.
See, there are lives to be lived here without this kind of self-absorbed examination. Okay, I have it. Let's try something. You're a lawyer.
I don't want to be a lawyer.
But you're troubled. You saved one too many mammoth corporations from paying fines resulting from despoiling the environment. And you're thinking about chucking it all to live in a little house by the sea.
That's very nice of you, giving me some redeeming qualities.
Hey, it's the least I can do for the man I'm apparently going to marry.
So you're seriously going to go through with this?
I can be a good sport.
Thank you for taking things in hand, Laura. I feel so much better. We might get a play out of this yet.
George Fallows made $1 billion on boards. 2x4s, laminated plywood, cedar shakes, ceiling beams, joists, studs, and pulp fodder. The money was fine, but Winnie's real love was watching Daddy topping political foes. Fact is, she hasn't had so much fun since the good old days when George was doing his best to subvert the trade unions in Washington State. You can imagine why she's so happy to have these friends around her, and why she's reluctant to let them go. It's strange and wonderful what a little time alone in a big house will do for a girl's powers of imagination and control. Continue. Caveat visitor.
Just how many oil companies' butts did you pull out of the fire last year?
I hate to admit it, all of them, actually. I have every major American refinery as clients. I'm very good at what I do.
I knew the first time I saw you stride down the hall at Dearborn Comstock that you were very good.
I remember that.
Of course, Laura managed to get your attention first. I was too shy.
Yeah, that's right. That's me, always coming on like gangbusters, no subtlety. If only I could remember any of this. Of course, when you don't inherit great gobs of cash, you can't afford to go through life like a tender flower.
And no one can accuse you of being like a tender flower, Laura. You're more like one of those Douglas Firs Winnie's dad was always chopping down.
Hey, careful, pal.
No, noble. Timeless, all right?
Hmm.
Indomitable. Reaching relentlessly toward the sun.
Well, we're getting there. That was okay.
You two are going to make the greatest couple. And so unlikely, too, considering Regis's war wound.
I didn't know you were in the war.
Neither did I.
What war wound, Winnie?
Oh, come now. Denying it won't help. I thought you'd come to terms with it already, or else why the wedding?
Wait one trench-footed minute here.
What war wound, Winnie?
You remember The Sun Also Rises, Jake Barnes, that kind of wound. You know. Oh, don't make me say it.
He was impotent.
What?
But he was still in love with Lady Brett. It was a beautiful, if difficult, relationship.
I don't understand this.
And that's how I see you two. A love affair right out of a Hemingway novel.
Are you making this up as you go along, Winnie?
No. It's all true.
Time out, kids. Now listen, I don't mind playing the gouging soulless corporate attorney.
Oh, don't get outside the story again,
I am
Regis.
Damned if I'm going to carry on here without any cojones. Is everybody straight on
but
that?
But there's nothing you can do about it. You've been to the best specialist.
I don't believe this.
Winnie, could I have some more lemonade?
Not now, Tom.
Okay.
Laura, I wonder if you've really thought through the implications of this marriage. I mean, taking lovers is always so messy, no matter how necessary.
I believe there are some issues that should be addressed here.
And who knows how long Regis will be able to work after you leave him, which you inevitably will. He'll need a place to find solace and peace where all his material needs are taken care of.
Nice summer, Winnie. Is this the pleasant summer you had planned?
Why, yes. Pleasant, lovely, and loving in spite of everything.
Gosh, tough luck, Regis. I didn't know the sacrifice you made for freedom.
Oh, it's not so tough, really. It's not nearly as tough as the situation you're inheriting, Tom. What with Winnie's 3 previous marriages
and
all.
But that wasn't supposed to be part of the play.
It is now, so evidently. It was.
Winnie, you never told me.
You mean you've never met her two children?
Stop!
Of course, I'm sure the fact that her drinking problem is now in treatment is a testament to you and your love,
Tom. That's atrocious, Regis. Don't be such a monster.
She's the one who cut off my Jake Barnes's.
And what are these regal games? Light deceits mid heavy foam? That brew doth float the mischievous sprite and drown his spirit roughly in fallow foes. All these things young Regis knows.
Out. The symptoms are sense of anxiety, of alienation. It's normal.
All these things young Regis
temporary
knows.
Memory loss. All right, think where am I? I'm at Longhurst.
I said all these things young Regis knows.
Fallows, Winnie Fallows, Eris, Tom, disturbing voice, constantly on the telephone. Laura, my fiance, brilliant woman. I'm a lawyer. I can deal with that.
He knows.
Okay, there's step by step. We'll just take this one step at a time.
Regis.
Yeah?
Concentrate. You're making me look bad.
Who is this?
This is a friend. Look, I just spun out a little verse. A little obscure, I know, but in it I claim that you know what's going on, so pay attention.
I'm trying to. But pardon me if I'm a little confused.
You're the one with brains, Einstein. Figure it out.
So my suspicions are right. Tom is at the bottom of this. My sense of dislocation, my sense of anxiety.
Where do they get these characters? You're nowhere.
Well, what's that supposed to mean? That's no help at all. Who's they?
Look, I gotta go.
Who are you?
Like I said, a friend.
Well, I have the distinct feeling you're playing me for a pawn, friend.
You're as dense as all the rest. We're all pawns to one degree or another.
Even you, who seem to have all the answers and the big reverberating voice?
What do you think happens when I start to get off the point? Like the time my cousin Dennis and I took off for Amalfi just to make a pilgrimage to Gore Vidal's house. When whom shall we meet but... You see, my reins are short, my friend.
Who is that?
Oh, I can't tell you that.
Why not?
It could lead to fundamental questions. It's very dangerous.
Tell me.
No.
Tell me.
No.
Tell me, you big ugly jerk.
The lines, dear Regis, are rubbed very thin between Longhurst and that gritty stevedore drama. There are bailing hooks and dark alleys and a bad end on the point of a 9-inch blade in your future, friend. Cheerio.
Who are you talking to, Regis?
No one.
I distinctly heard a voice that was not yours.
Mm-mm.
A big booming voice.
No.
I know it well.
It was no one. No one. Where is Laura?
She's talking with Tom, and you're talking to me. It was him, wasn't it?
Who?
Chorus, the author's mouthpiece.
I don't know what you're talking about, Winnie.
Would this help your powers of perception?
Ooh. Say, that wouldn't be in the neighborhood of a 9-inch blade, would it?
Exactly.
Well, the future is now.
I'm going to make you a deal.
Mm.
I'll take away the war wound if you'll do me a little favor.
You can do that?
Sure. I gave it to you, didn't I?
Am I in over my head here?
Completely.
And is it absolutely futile to resist?
Absolutely.
You made a deal with the author, didn't you?
You're smarter than I thought.
You know, I've heard about stuff like this, but I never really believed it. How did you get access?
Well, I screamed a lot. Oh. Authors need their sleep and don't like their characters interrupting the normal course of their lives.
Yeah, sure. Create them and forget them. Okay, so what's the deal?
I want out of Longhurst. Nothing happens here anymore. Nobody sets plays here. I want to experience something of the world.
Fine, but where do I come in?
I need a substitute. The author needs somebody living here in case he wants to make another stab at this play. God knows this one didn't work out.
So it is a he.
Did I say he?
Yes, you said he. So why did he make you dislike me so much?
It's nothing personal. You're patterned after himself, and I think he's got this guilt thing about women.
Great.
It's sackcloth and ashes, mutilating you and letting me go.
Is he writing your lines now?
Sure.
God.
Yeah. I can't believe how incredibly stupid men can be either.
That's not exactly what I was getting at.
Yes, it was, but I won't be dealing with it anymore. I'm getting out, so how about it, Scout? Stay here and be whole or don't.
I never really was a big Hemingway fan.
Good man. I know it doesn't fit my character, but I really like holding all the cards.
Events which have been kept apart like flint and tinder begin to spark, but the tender one's a flinty maid, and the rough-edged hero flounders in a flood too deep to wade. Not much time left, but just enough, for our befuddled Regis to make one last desperate and inevitable leap.
Where's Regis?
He's escaping.
From what?
From the play. He says he's rebelling.
He can't do that. The bears.
You've got bears?
We do now. Or at least I just remembered that we did.
Jesus, Winnie, you might have told me about the grizzlies.
Oh, Regis, are you hurt?
Yes, Laura.
There's something strange going on here.
Maybe Regis is right, that something sinister...
Tom, what would happen if I tried to leave?
I have no idea.
Come on, Tom, no more of this. I want an answer. What would it be? More grizzlies, Bengal tigers, very fast crocodiles?
Monkeys!
Monkeys?
Large flying monkeys, like in The Wizard of Oz. And they bite, repeatedly.
What makes you say that?
Well, I just thought of it. Don't you think it would be effective to keep you from leaving?
Yes, completely. I've always hated that scene.
Is Regis all right?
No, he looks dead.
No, he's not.
How can you be so sure?
He's not leaving that way either.
I told you Winnie was a deer, didn't I? Monkeys. She's got style.
Laura, it'll be the longest time before anybody sets a play here again. I hate to think of you stranded here.
Well, don't worry. I won't be alone.
Which is even worse. Going through eternity at Longhurst with Regis. He's a real bozo, dear. I was really surprised when you announced you were married.
I didn't. You made up the marriage.
Oh, that's right. I never thought you'd go through with it, though.
Actually, I'm kind of starting to like him.
I can't change your mind.
I can't leave the man I almost love when he's stuck in an archaic comedy of manners, just when he needs me most.
Actually, it's a deactivated comedy of manners. The author sort of has you on retainer until he decides to do this kind of thing again, which won't be for a very long time, so I hope you like the view.
Okay, fine. But there's this other question. Regis is, you know, whole again?
He's fit as a fiddle.
A fiddle with strings.
Uh-huh.
And everything else a fiddle is supposed to have in order to make music.
All he needs is the right musician.
Okay. I believe you.
Good. Bye, dear. Have a nice eternity.
Oh, wait. What about Tom? Who is he?
Oh, Tom. Well, he's not a he at all.
What?
He's technological.
Hi, Regis.
See?
I'm Tom.
I controlled him with this.
But he conversed with us.
Laura, let me give you a little piece of advice.
Yeah?
Next time you're activated, don't just let yourself be another character. Deal with the devil. But make sure you get away with it. You know, I've really got to run. I have a world to experience, and I plan to do everything by next Thursday.
Longhurst is quiet tonight. Winnie's off to Amalfi, where, with my cousin Dennis and myself, she'll make a pilgrimage to Gore Vidal's house. Just like years ago when we had that wonderful time scaling the seawall, the one with the espaliered orange... All right. All right. And our play is done. Oh, did I say quiet? Well, not completely. Longhurst is a large house and takes some getting used to.
We got a situation here.
But the new caretaker should have plenty of time for that. Ciao, Laura. Arrivederci, Regis. Bailing hooks don't look so bad to him now.
You just heard Short Summer at Longhurst by William Morlock, broadcast by New American Radio.